For this morning's public reading of God's Word, we're going to be turning to Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. We've already concluded chapter 8, and now we're going to move into chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm going to be reading here this morning the first 11 verses. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. Whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, that's Jesus, and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. And some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privily into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. Amen. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now, once again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke form what is called the synoptic gospel, and the word synoptic literally means to say the same thing. And there are many similarities between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. However, even in the synoptics, you will find variation, even amongst those portions of Scripture that are similar or say the same thing that the other two Gospels say. John is a little different because his purpose and aim was totally different than the three synoptic Gospel writers. If you want a fuller explanation of what goes on here in the first six verses, you got to read Matthew's account, which is found in Matthew chapter 10, if you want to do a synoptic comparison. But let's look what Luke has recorded for us in six verses. When you come to Matthew chapter 10, it's quite an extensive portion that talks about the same thing. So Jesus calls the 12, and he's going to give them power and authority to cast out devils, to cure diseases, and notice what they were to preach. They were to preach the kingdom of God. Ironically, look at verse 11. When Jesus takes the 12 upon their return from this mission and takes them off to the side for some rest and for some refreshment, the multitude, finding out where he was at, come to him. And not only did he heal them as had a need, what did Jesus preach as well? The kingdom of God. And what does Jesus tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about the kingdom? Unless a man is born again, he cannot see nor enter the kingdom of God. Well, that's the same entity. That's that same spiritual kingdom of which Christ now sits and reigns as king and as sovereign and as the exalted high priest over all of his people, over all of his kingdom. And that kingdom is entered by a spiritual birth that Jesus delineates to Nicodemus in John 3, especially verses 3 to 5. Now, notice in verses 3, they were to take literally nothing, and therefore they were to be totally beholden upon the kindness, compassion, and the generosity of others to whom they brought the message of the kingdom. Ironically, when Jesus sends the 70 out two by two, and when Jesus tells the same 12 to go out, everything in verses 3 is reversed. He tells them to take a stave and take a scrip and take whatever you need. Okay? Two coats, he tells them. And so here we find this initial sending forth, which is never going to be replicated again. This was for the 12, I believe, to teach them total trust and reliance upon him, that God would work in the hearts of those to whom they would minister, and who would open up not only their house, but their hearts. But then notice in verse 5. Notice verse 5, and turn with me to Acts 18, our current text that we're now preaching from. And notice a cross-reference. Let's look at Luke 9 and 5 first. Whosoever will not receive you, not everybody's going to be receptive to the gospel. You're going to have some cantankerous people. You're going to have some very belligerent people. You're going to have the atheist and the agnostic. You're going to have the cultists. You're going to have the Roman Catholic and the Jehovah Witness and the Mormon, who's going to resist you, okay, with a frontal attack, probably, insulting you verbally and calling you all kinds of names. Whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony, not for them, but against them. Look at Acts 18, verse 6. Look at Acts 18, 6. What happened? What did Paul do in the synagogue here in Corinth? And when they, the unbelieving Jews, opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook off his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Here we find the Apostle Paul obeying Jesus in the shaking of his raiment and casting off the very dust of that synagogue. And when he said, your blood be upon your own heads, that was a testimony not to their favor, not to their plus, but to their negative. It was a witness against them. Then we are told in verses 6 that they departed, went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Stop. Verse 2 says he wanted them to preach the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says Jesus preached the kingdom of God. Yet verses 6 tells us they preached the gospel. What is the conclusion by context? When you preach the gospel, you're preaching the kingdom of God. And when you preach the kingdom of God, you are preaching the gospel. And what is the gospel, according to Paul? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and all of the facets and the nuances of all of that. It's one and the same. So how can anyone be so foolish and so rightly chopping, improperly chopping up the Bible, when they say the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are two separate entities and they're not the same thing? Here's proof from the context that when you preach the kingdom of God, verse 2, and when Jesus preached the kingdom of God in verse 11, they were preaching the gospel, verse 6. You make the tie. You connect the cherries on the cherry tree and see what you get. Then verses 7 all the way down to verse 9, we have this little tidbit. And I believe this is the only gospel that mentions verses 9. Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he, Herod, desired to see him, Jesus. And guess what? Herod got his wish. The day of the morning of Jesus' betrayal, I mean his trial, when the Jews brought him to Pontius Pilate. When Pilate found out that Jesus was from Galilee, what did he do? He pinged him to Herod. Herod got his wish. And apparently Herod was not too impressed, because he sent Jesus right back to Pilate. He was not impressed by what he saw. Well, Jesus didn't go there to perform miracles, nor to perform stunts and tricks or some magic show. He remained silent as a lamb. What else are we told? Isn't it amazing on how some of the Jews had their own thought processes going? Look at that verse 7. Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him. He was perplexed because that it was said of him that John was risen from the dead. So notice, the Jews did believe in a resurrection of the body, the reappearance of us in our bodily form. So they thought that John has come back from the dead. And then some say Elijah has appeared, and of others, and that one of the Old Testament prophets has risen again. So notice some of the superstition or some of the personal quirks and the beliefs of the Jews there in the first century, in the days of Jesus, that they believed that dead people were able to make a physical reappearance in our time and space continuum. I find that kind of interesting. And then verses 10 and verse 11, when they came back from all of their preaching and all of their healing and such, when you read the other synoptics, it says that Jesus took them off to the side privately for some rest. And so, beloved, when it comes to ministry, nobody is a machine. Okay, you're not made of steel, bolts, and nuts. You're made of flesh and blood. And working in the ministry, if you really work in the ministry, you can get tired. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, we find several of Paul's friends were sick unto death because of their eagerness in ministry. Timothy was even left sick, and Paul told him to drink a little wine for his tummy's sake. Okay? Some people have really exhausted their bodies in full-time ministry. Well, beloved, there's to be a balance even when it comes to ministry. Do all the labor, do all the work, do all the praying, do all the crying, shed tears, walk miles to preach the gospel. I believe. But you got to take care of yourself. And here's an example. When they came back, we're not told how long, but when they came back, Jesus took them off to the side for some rest. But then notice, a preacher can never really rest, can he? When the multitude found out what was going on, they came out to where Jesus was at. He took them someplace privately, and the multitude came out when they found out what was going on. And what did Jesus do? Did he tell them, hey, these guys are resting, no miracles today? No. He took care of them, and he gave them the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, may God choose to bless his people.